Hello and good afternoon, Roaring Fork Valley. This is Diane Johnson with Senior Matters. And seniors really do matter. There are a lot of us running around in this beautiful Roaring Fork Valley. There are a lot of us living and enjoying the good life here. And of course, today, went for a real beautiful long walk. It felt like spring. I honestly believe it's spring. Do we have two more months of winter? It's hard to believe. A little bit about Senior Matters. Senior Matters, our center is located here at 3rd Street Center in downtown Carbondale, and we host a variety of activities and programs for our community. And when I say seniors, I don't mean 55 to 105. Our senior programs are for any age, but we address the senior issues and the senior community and the concerns of all. Our center hosts programs like Tai Chi, art, yoga, bridge. Of course, bridge. And of course, we're looking at sunshine today, and it makes me think of the Carbondale Wild West Rodeo, our major fundraising for the summer and for Senior Matters, our great snow cone concession. I've been getting phone calls. People want to know, hey, can we volunteer with Senior Matters? What do you have for us? What's going on? So I tell them what we're doing, what we can be doing for them, and what activities can be doing for them. And here's something you might want to hear about. I am blessed with a great community of people in my life, and I am blessed, and thank God she's there. I do yoga. Now, a lot of my work is sitting in a chair just like I am right now. My body doesn't move around and get as much happening to it as it should. So I, again, say blessed because I feel better. My body feels better. And you know what really feels better is my spirit because I'm doing something for me. We're going to be talking to a beautiful lady, Karen Benereau. Karen is a certified yoga instructor. In fact, she's got over 200 certified hours in her yoga. And that doesn't count her teaching me and the other students in our class. She is currently teaching adaptive yoga at the Aspen Clinic. She is a lady who is very talented and has been doing yoga for 14 years. She is also a nurse. Her pediatric specialty, a master's in it. She is currently in school to become a certified addictions counselor, and she has lived in this gorgeous valley for over 25 years. Karen, welcome to Senior Matters.
Thank you, Diane. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Sorry I missed you Tuesday, but you also just returned from some incredible adventure. Tell a little bit about that before we talk about yoga.
Well, I just got back from a retreat in a small fishing village of Chicala, Mexico, and I was it was a yoga retreat with my original yoga teacher, Faith Lepori. And we had a beautiful week of practicing yoga. We had a 90-minute practice in the morning and then almost 2 hours with meditation and a practice in the afternoon. So I, as a yoga teacher, really, really appreciate being able to go back and take yoga classes and do retreats to tune up my skills and to do what you said at the beginning of the program, to offer myself some self-care in the yoga and the meditation so I can recharge my battery and then have more to bring to my students when I do teach.
Whoa. Sounds good. Makes me feel better already. What in your life brought you in the direction of yoga?
I didn't start practicing yoga until 2006 and was making some very major, very positive changes in my life in recovery. 12-step recovery program, and yoga was at the bottom of my hill at the old Health and Harmony studio, and I was drawn to it mostly because I needed something to do with my time, something more positive to do with my time, and I had been in the fitness industry for 14 years teaching aerobics. And as my body aged, I wasn't able to do high-impact aerobics or other the more rigorous practices. And yoga just felt like the next right step. So I began studying with Faith and started to go to workshops and seminars, and then decided that I really wanted to get immersed and become a yoga teacher. And I was able to do that through the work of Deva Shante and the crew at True Nature Yoga Studio here in Carbondale. So I loved yoga. I didn't understand it initially, but I felt, like you said, I felt better at the end of a class. I felt in tune and calmer and centered, and yet my body was doing some amazing physical work with a yoga practice.
That, when you say amazing physical work, and when I hear that, I think running and jogging and on the machines, you know, doing amazing physical work. I know that's not what yoga is. When you say physical work, what does yoga do physically for us?
I think the very first thing I think of when I get into any kind of stressful situation or I get all verklempt about something is that I stop breathing normally. And yoga, to me, begins with the breath. And as I've studied and learned, the word yoga means union. And it is the union of your body with your breath, and your body with your movements, and your breath with your movements, and your mind with your body. So we end up with this beautiful triangle of centeredness. And a yoga class is not designed, most yoga classes are not designed to become physically, you're not exerting yourself so much physically as you are holding poses and deep into stretches. And the spiritual piece of it enters in with the yogic traditions, the samskaras and the other Sanskrit words that we're not going to go into today.
But, thank you.
But we get into an ability to understand our own energies. And my process is to be able to slow those energies, to breathe deeply, to recenter, to refocus, to slow my busy brain down. And in yoga, a really good yoga class has a handful of very simple movements that we do. Often they are seated in chair yoga, especially with the older population. It's gaining lots of popularity. And the chair yoga for seniors or anybody with any kind of physical disability has led me to learn and study more about adaptive yoga, so that when pretty much every move that we do in a regular yoga class can be done with full expression and full benefit in a chair.
You know what? When I first came to the Valley, I did take yoga. And at that time, it wasn't adaptive yoga. It was straight yoga. It was here in Carbondale. I thought, this is my first experience, and I loved what was happening. Today, I can't do yoga like I used to, because I've got tightening in the hips, the necks, the shoulders, the fingers and the toes. And your class, the adaptive yoga, helps me so much. I had no idea I was not in such good shape until yoga. And thank you for being my instructor.
You're
She's
welcome.
Good. She's really good.
You're welcome. I think you hit on a very key point there, that my body isn't what it was when I was teaching high impact aerobics and step classes back in my 20s. And now that I'm in my mid 50s, I have a mild physical disability in my right leg and my right foot. That has led me to be able to say that absolutely anybody can practice yoga. And for every posture and every yoga journal magazine you see, I like to undo the myth that you have to look a certain way or have a certain body type. So the type of adaptive yoga that we are doing at the Third Street Center, as well as the TAC Fitness Center, I love to work with my clients who have MS, multiple sclerosis, with Parkinson's. And yesterday, I had a gentleman come in who had just had rotator cuff surgery.
Oh.
And yes, and so he was very willing. That's a big part of yoga, is just to have an open mind, because the open body will follow. And we did a full class, and he was in the chair, and he said it was one of the best classes he's ever taken, to be able to open his hips and open his shoulders gently with the awareness that we don't have to do things that our bodies don't want us to do.
I love that. We don't have to do things that our body doesn't want us to do. And I listen to my body. I feel it. You know, I've been in tune with that. You know, denial is part of me trying. I don't need it. I don't need it. But I know I need it.
And that's a good point, that if your body feels better, the mind will come with it. And if the mind is willing and open, the body will come with it. And the beautiful part about adaptive yoga is that with a good understanding of your body, and with a yoga person that can guide, a yoga teacher that can guide, we can come in and out of certain poses and modify them for a shoulder limitation, or for a knee limitation, or for a hip replacement, or for the types of physical characteristics that come with multiple sclerosis or with Parkinson's, the freezing of the knees and the feet. There are ways to work around all of it and have a full, meaningful yoga class.
You know, I sit and I work with you in class, but I also observe you. I try to get out of my brain sometimes and let my body be an instrument that you can teach. But I observe you with the other participants and students who have different physical issues, whether it's knee surgery or hip surgery, or me with my arthritis in my neck, or me with this issue in my hips. You are hands-on. You see each and every student at each and every pose or position or movement you put us or instruct us to go in. And when you see there is a bit of a challenge or a struggle, you come to me or you go to the other student. You are hands-on.
Very first thing about yoga teaching is that when the commands or the instruction is simple and the breath and the voice follows, when we say lift your arms, then often that's an auditory cue. And I was taught very well to teach a safe class. And first thing that we do is we're very aware of each student visually. And in watching a student, I might go over to a student and verbally coach them by encouraging them verbally first to perhaps lift a shoulder or to turn their head a certain way or to tuck their chin in. And then I will ask before I touch a student and say, may I gently move and tell and let me know when enough, when you feel this, because we're going to stop there. So it's a trust. It's a trust that the person, a yoga instructor should never go over and physically jump into someone's space. Who we don't know them, even if we do know them, that day a particular joint or a nerve pain might be happening. So very first thing is a verbal cue, and that's by the command that I give on an instruction. And then the second piece is to put myself, my body, next to that person and then visually demonstrate what an open left shoulder or a chin tuck looks like. So I'm doing it, and I'm talking through it, and they can see that and mimic it. And then the third level would be to gently, hands-on, if a client is willing to do that or a participant is willing, to very, very gently just lay a hand on, and 9 times out of 10, the person will self-correct. just by a verbal cue, and then by watching me, and then being able to just gently lay a hand or put my foot next to theirs, and then they can turn their foot out a certain way.
You know, the hands-on part brings us closer to you. Thank you. One of the things you do in our class, which is the adaptive yoga class, it's chair class. We can use it or not, or choose not to use the chair. But one of the things that I do, and I am so glad that you are this type of instructor, is I watch your moves. It helps me to do what you're telling us what to do goes exactly with your movements. I don't see you behind in your movements. When you have a dialogue with us, you're in sync. And that helps me. I'm hearing it and I'm seeing it. My brain is receiving and hearing a message of a movement I need to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that if I am just a nanosecond ahead of you, I know what the next move will be. And the beautiful part about yoga is posture one can lead into posture two, which is an add-on for posture three. So at any point, a person can stay just at level one. And if they choose to have a deeper expression of that pose, I'll say, now we can modify or add on, or you can stay exactly where you are. And the next piece is to then say, that's beautiful. Good job. Reach for me. Mm-hmm. I love how you are listening to your body. And that type of instruction means that I am tuned into my students.
You're encouraging, too.
Exactly.
It's so positive.
And I love having a chair because I can sit in the chair, but I can also use the chair with one hand on and then have a balance pose with one hand up. And if I ever need the chair, I just put my other hand back on the chair. So I use my chair as my prop in a standing pose or in a seated pose. We hang on to the sides of our chairs and are able to then say, let's be safe with the move that we're doing.
Is the brain working for me right now? Yes. The one thing that I find vitally important for me is because, you know how you always think, well, I can do this. It's not going to be a, you know, no big deal. But I am amazed at how much I really can't do easily. Balance for one. Thank God that chair is there. Not until I started doing yoga did I realize I was balance deficit. And it has made me aware that I need to be try to be as equally as strong on my left side and my right side, and yoga works with me in that.
And yoga helped me a lot with my atrophied right leg that was a result of some anesthesia problems from 20 years ago. I lost my proprioception and I lost the sensation in my right foot, and my balance was off and my whole gait was off. So these last 15 years have been me doing my own physical therapy work, and yoga has so helped with that. The ability to put one foot in front of the other. I have to think about every step. And I think about my participants and clients who maybe have some memory impairment or cognitive impairment. And so what is very important in my hour-long, 45-minute or hour-long class is that I'm connecting with them and stimulating their right and their left side by crossing over the midline in the brain, or by using different props like a foam ball, or by using a ball to squeeze between their knees. But the idea is everything we do to the right side, we do to the left, and then we can repeat it. And what often happens in a yoga class is that something we do to the right side that is added on, and then do it to the left side, I may have the class next piece is to stand up, and they're doing a very similar motion, but now they're actually using their feet with the same sense of balance of right and left side. It builds like blocks.
And that balance of right and left side, I got tuned in to there is a balance of a right and left side. You think of it as a whole. Yes, I'm on left side and I've got a right side. But you think of a movement as a whole. All of a sudden, we're moving forward. I am a diabetic. I have been for 35 years, and now I'm experiencing neuropathy. Talk about feet, talk about balance. You know, it's an important part of my health.
And if something hurts, we are less likely to use that body part. If we have pain in our right knee, we'll be most often what we'll do is favor the left side, and the left side becomes stronger, and the left hip gets more work, and the left knee gets more work. Mm-hmm. Part of yoga in that balance and in that union and from the breathing is to be able to say, hey, right side, we've got to do what the left side is doing as much as possible. And sitting in a chair, so much stretching can happen in a passive type of stretch move. And with the breathing, that we are tuning into the right side, perhaps not at the peak of where our challenge is. If someone has difficulty walking, their class would not be a walking type of motion or standing. Their class would be a seated posture, but strengthening and stretching the right side as much as the left to give it the love that it needs to turn mm-hmm. on and fire those neural reminders in our brain.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen an increase in yoga? Don't mean to get away from where the scientific, but have you seen an increase in participants, an increase of yoga in our community?
I have, and one of the really neat things that I'm launching into is to have some time with the neurologists in the Valley. And just yesterday, Dr. Allen sent another one of her patients to the adaptive yoga class, and I got to meet another MS patient in the Valley, and she's lovely. And I'm hoping to do that with the neurologists in Glenwood Springs as well as Dr. Allen to encourage them that no matter what age, elderly or whenever somebody has a disability, to get them into an adaptive yoga class.
All right. That I loved hearing. Brooke Allen, thank you so much. You're an incredible neurologist. I met you years ago, and we have, with some of my health care background and my clients have seen you. I appreciate you, and thank you also for being a part of our Roaring Fork Brain Train, you know, and supporting that program. Gadzooks, I only have seconds left to talk with you, Karen. Just a little bit again. Karen, she's she's drawing a heart. What? Tell me about that beating heart.
What? I think one of my greatest teachers in life has been me teaching students, and they're teaching me back. And I, in my wildest dreams, never knew that I would get the emotional connection and the spiritual lift that I get from this population, the adaptive yoga population and the Roaring Fork Brain Train Alzheimer's group. I get chills when I teach class because I am making an emotional connection, but they are giving back as much as I am offering them in their sense of community, in their sense of closeness, in building their safety net. It's their family, and I get to be a part of this new family system, and it is loving and nurturing and rewarding, and I basically can't wait to get back there next week to teach again, as all my instructors are.
Whoa. I loved hearing that. It's perfect for what's happening in a couple of days, Valentine's, and it's all about love. It's all about feeling the love and giving it back and nourishing each other in that. And you have helped me, and I know I've given a little bit to you. She just pointed, and you to me, too.
Yes, Diane was instrumental in, after one adaptive yoga class at Tech, she said, I need you to be part of this new thing that we're doing at the Third Street Center. And I said, okay. So she is the one who got my engines fired up and my interest, and I have been so grateful to be a part of that in the community.
And I'm so grateful that you're here speaking with us today. I must say to you, my beautiful lady, namaste.
Namaste.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been great being a part of your day and sharing this beautiful yoga and Karen. Join me again next month for Senior Matters, and think about yoga. It's good for all of us. Mm-hmm.